Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are focused on the holiday season with Bible studies for Christmas. In this session, we'll be looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, the character of the Savior. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 is one of the most important verses in the Bible. It describes the condition of every person on the face of the earth except Jesus Christ. It tells us the reason why the gospel message of reconciliation with God is so necessary. It reads, Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." The reason we need the rescue of God's salvation is because God is opposed to every expression of evil. We need a rescuer. We need someone who is willing and able to step forward on our behalf, who knows all about us and loves us anyway. We need someone pure enough to remove our sin and guilt, strong enough to personally take our punishment, and committed enough to change us from the inside out. Consider the character of the Savior, proclaimed not by his contemporaries, but by a man who lived 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. Isaiah had the burden of speaking God's truth to a nation crumbling before his eyes under the leadership of King Ahaz. Ahaz was the godless 20-something-year-old king who faced a great national crisis. Judah was threatened in two ways. Internally, immorality was corrupting God's people, and externally, panic due to an impending enemy attack. Isaiah was sent by God in that desperate hour. God went out of his way to encourage Ahaz's faith with assurances of support and a special prophetic sign. But there was also a warning. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 9. Ahaz rejected God's offer, trading his presence and power for an alliance with the pagan nation of Assyria. Ahaz and his leaders suppressed the truth, and the wrath of God was revealed against their ungodliness and unrighteousness. Isaiah chapter 8 details how a growing despair came over Judah. God handed them over to their sin and their enemies. The plans of Ahaz failed, and the people turned to the occult for guidance. Even King Ahaz made his son pass through the fire as an offering to the gods of the Canaanites. 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 3 tells us that. It became a time of moral darkness and hopelessness under the judgment of God. In Isaiah chapter 9, well, something happens before we get there. Something happens between chapter 8 and chapter 9. Amidst describing to the people of Judah what to expect as a result of their rebellion against God, the Holy Spirit fast forwards time for Isaiah. The prophet sees the future, and it contrasts to the present desperation of Judah. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. In the summer of 1741, a 56-year-old composer who was suffering from a stroke and was in considerable financial difficulty was at the low point of his musical career. He wanted to do something different than his previous works. And he had been reading from the book of Isaiah. He began writing music that matched the glory and meaning of the biblical text. 24 days it took him. And 24 days later, George Friedrich Handel had finished Messiah, the most famous oratorio ever written. We all know the majesty and triumph of the Hallelujah chorus that concludes this masterwork. But it is the 12th song of the first movement that captures the joy of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Instead of the darkness of that present time in Judah, we hear Isaiah in verse 2 saying, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Instead of the fears of a struggling people, Isaiah thanks God in verse 3. "You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Instead of the bondage of thousands taken as prisoners by enemy forces, Isaiah described a day when, in verse 4, "You have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian." And instead of constant war, in verse 5, Isaiah sees the end of war. "For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire." Right in the middle of pronouncing God's much-deserved wrath, with wars and rumors of wars filling Judah, Isaiah described the great solution for sinners. Light will come into their darkness. The fears and frustration, the bondage and the guilt will be taken away. Joy will come to those who once resisted and rebelled against God. Victory for the people who deserved the worst from a holy God. Isaiah's description in verses 6 and 7 of the character of the Savior. Read it. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice, with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God's plan is a person. A Messiah, a messianic ruler, unlike any leader the world has ever seen. He is both human, a child will be born, and divine, a son will be given. The government will be upon his shoulders, meaning he rules as a king. The character of this God-man, who is a king, is underscored by four titles, and they build upon one another. First, he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Literally, wonder of a counselor. And the word wonderful means marvelous, extraordinary, beyond the normal capacity to perform. In other words, the counsel of this God-man transcends human wisdom. He doesn't need or want my counsel or yours, or that of anyone else. Romans chapter 11, verse 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Listen, he is the supernatural counselor in a class by himself. In any situation, in every challenge, he knows exactly what needs to be done. His plan of action is infallibly right. If you're looking for guidance in life, he is the wonder of a counselor. Second, he will be called Mighty God. This title equals the strong God. This child is God's son, the second person of the Trinity. And he possesses all the power of God. He is omnipotent. He can carry his plan to the full. That's why he says in Isaiah 46, in the second part of verse 10, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This king is so powerful that he can absorb all the evil thrown at him until there's none left to throw. And he can still defeat his enemy. We need a king who will be awake all night while we sleep, who is strong enough to keep his word and mighty enough to break the power of sin in our life. Third, he will be called Everlasting Father. Psalm 103 in verse 13 says, as a father pities his son, so the Lord pities those who fear him. This king will be like a father, loving, self-sacrificing, always looking out for your best. Fatherly compassion from this king will never end. He is a father forever. And then fourth, he will be called Prince of Peace. This king will overcome all of his enemies. He will conquer the hearts of his people. He will start something that will never stop growing. And he will do it without brute force, but by disarming his enemies and bringing peace. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Isaiah saw his coming, the one who would be God's answer for sinners like you and me. He saw Jesus, the rescuer that we all need. As the wonderful counselor, he came with wisdom and purpose, with a perfect plan. You are called to follow him. As the mighty God, he will accomplish all his purposes. The devil threw everything at Jesus and couldn't stop him. He couldn't stop God's plan of the ages. You're called to hide yourself in him. As the everlasting Father, he loves us eternally. You are called to enjoy being in his presence. And as the Prince of Peace, he reconciles us while we're still his enemies. You're called to put your trust in him and serve him. He is the answer to every heart's questions. You think about that, and you have a great day.